You unlock this door with the key of imagination. Beyond it is another dimension. A dimension of sound. A dimension of sight. A dimension of mind. You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the Twilight Zone.
I always get chills when I hear that. Writing both individually and as a team with his wife, Elaine, Mark Zichry has over 90 dramatic television credits to his name, including episodes of Star Trek, The Next Generation, Deep Space, Babylon 5, Forever Night, Beauty and Then Beast, Twilight Zone, Sliders. Mark has also served on staff on four series, which include Sliders, Lazarus Man, Beyond Reality, Friday the 13th, the series, and beyond this, he has written seven pilots. Additionally, Mark was a commentator for 3 years on NPR's Morning Edition and is also the author of the best-selling The Twilight Zone Companion. And his website, of course, linked up with coasttocoastam.com. If you haven't been up to it yet, it is ZICREE.com. He's my guest this hour, and we'll take calls in the latter half of this hour. Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm very good, George.
My pleasure. Twilight Zone. You're fascinated with that, too, aren't you?
Oh, of course. That's a wonderful show.
Nothing like it, the mind of Rod Serling. How did he develop it, Mark? I mean, what happened? I mean, he was just a regular writer, wasn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah, well, he was a very outgoing kid, and then he went into World War II, and he was a paratrooper, and he was wounded in action, and came out of the war with a lot to say, a lot to write about his society. He was a tremendously popular TV writer. He did Requiem for Heavyweight and Patterns. He was known for very realistic television drama, but throughout the 50s he was more and more getting censored. And finally he thought, well, if I write science fiction, I'll be able to say what I have in mind without the censors coming down on me, and that proved to work perfectly.
Was Twilight Zone an instant success when it first came out?
It was a critical success. All the critics just loved it, and it started to gain an audience. It was never really a big top 10 show, but it had a very, very solid fan base.
What's amazing is some of the stars that went off to become superstars that got some of their initial roles in the Twilight Zone.
Well, that's right. People like Lee Marvin and Robert Redford and Robert Duvall and just on and on, hundreds of them.
Shatner?
Yeah, William Shatner, of course.
In even the little kid, Billy Mummy. Remember
that's
him?
Right. That's right. He was in three episodes. He did a terrific job.
I have had, and I continually remember, Mark, some of the greatest Twilight Zone episodes. And each time that I think I've remembered my favorite, I think of another one.
That's right. It's it's funny. We're Image Entertainment is about to release the Twilight Zone episodes season by season, and I'm going to be a consultant on it. And we're just talking about all these goodies that we can add, because just when you look at a list of the Twilight Zone episodes, there's so many of them that are just instant memory bursts. They're just so unforgettable.
Did he have a series of writers working with him?
Yeah, he wrote the majority of the episodes. He wrote, of the 156 episodes that were produced over 5 years, Serling himself wrote 92, which is an amazing output considering the quality and the variety of episodes he wrote. But he also had a core of really solid writers that were doing some great episodes. There was a man named Richard Matheson, and he wrote episodes such as Nightmare on 20,000 Feet. That's the one with William Shatner seeing the gremlin on the wing. And
I remember that.
And then there's George Clayton Johnson, who wrote Kick the Can, which was about the old folks and the old folks' home becoming young again. And he also wrote Nothing in the Dark, which was the one with Robert Redford playing Mr. Death. And then there was Charles Beaumont, who wrote things like... he was basically Beaumont would do Long Live Walter Jameson, which was about an immortal man, or some of the stranger episodes came out of Beaumont. He had an extremely odd life. And then finally, the final writer of Twilight Zone was a very surprising choice. It was Earl Hamner Jr., who wrote 8 episodes of The Twilight Zone, and then he went on to create The Waltons.
To write the Twilight Zone series, it was a 30-minute television show, minus the commercial time. So how long was it, 22 minutes, something like that?
A little longer. It was probably about like 24, 25, yeah, because there were fewer commercials back then. One season of the Twilight Zone was actually an hour long, and that was 18 episodes.
What kind of a script size for the 30-minute version? How big is that?
It was about 30 pages. Yeah, and the scripts were very different from the way they would be now. They would have the shots much more... they do what they call calling the shots, which means you'd say close-up, long shot, etc. Nowadays in scripts you don't do that as much. But styles have changed. The style in scripts now is much leaner than it was back in Serling's day. But Serling dictated his scripts. He would talk them into a tape recorder, and then a secretary he would lie by his swimming pool in his backyard, dictate these scripts into a tape recorder. Then a secretary would transcribe them. Then he'd make little hand changes on them, and then they'd shoot it.
He would just let his mind go wild.
Yes,
huh?
Exactly. Yes.
I remember, so many of them. The one where. And maybe Shatner was in this one too, mm-hmm. where he was in a deli in a small town, and they kept he and his wife kept pulling out a fortune from a devil's mouth or something.
You're right. That's William Shatner. It was called Nick of Time, and the fortune seemed to be predicting what's about to happen, and he becomes enslaved, and he's afraid to even leave that little cafe. That was the other one. That was also written by Richard Matheson, who wrote Nightmare at 20,000 Feet.
There was one where the neighborhood wanted to break down the door of a home because they had a bomb shelter.
That's right. That was called The Shelter. And again, well, this is also, again, demonstrating that Serling could write about the threat of nuclear war. He could write about racial bigotry. He could write about any number of things. But the fascinating thing was, because it was science fiction, he was writing much more generally, and that made it much more timeless than if he had been writing directly about the 1950s. Instead, these are episodes that still are current today,
they live on forever. What do you think his central theme was then, Mark, when he was floating in his pool or sitting in his chair? What did he conceptualize first before he then went into the program?
Well, it's interesting. Serling was once teaching a class, and someone asked him what he thought the greatest fear was, and he said to him, the greatest fear of all was the fear of the unknown working on you, which you cannot share with others. and I guess if you're going to term that in anything, you probably say modern alienation, feeling apart, feeling alone, feeling cut off from everyone else. And this is a theme that was explored again and again and again in Twilight Zone.
And what he did is he took real-life episodes that everybody would think about.
That's right.
You know, time travel, everything.
That's right. Well, often it would be a little tiny thing that would happen to Serling in his daily life that he would then spin out into an episode. For instance, he was once at a train station, and he was dressed in a trench coat, and he had a certain kind of briefcase, and he looked across the room, and a man was standing with his back to him, who was exactly his height, dressed in exactly the same clothes with exactly the same briefcase, and Serling thought, my God, what if that person turns around and it's me? And of course the person turned around, and Serling said, he was a lot more handsomer than I was, but that gave him the idea for an episode called Mirror Image, where someone actually does see a duplicate of themselves.
The black and white look, which, we had no choice then, but it was very special.
Yeah, and George Clemens, who was Serling's director of photography, came from the golden age of movies. I mean, he was on the Frederick March Jekyll and Hyde. He was on Charlie Chaplin films, all sorts of stuff. So he really knew how to light a shot where it just looked gorgeous. So Twilight Zone looks as good as any motion picture.